Well, old Jack and old John had been board members together at the Prince of Peace Lutheran Church for as long as anyone could remember, and they were always at odds with each other, especially in church meetings. When one would vote yes, the other would vote no. This went on for many years. Well, one day, old Jack died and arrived at the gate of heaven, and he noticed how everyone was asked a question before they were allowed in. When it was his turn, St. Peter said, "Hello, Jack, to see if you qualify to come in, I have to ask you to spell one word, Jesus." "That's easy," said Jack, and so he said, "J-E-S-U-S." St. Peter complimented him and asked if he would do him a small favor before he entered. "Could you watch the gates for a few moments for me where I take care of something?" Well, several people were waiting in line, and so Jack asked each one the same question, "Please spell the name Jesus." And then Jack could hardly believe his eyes. There was old John in line. "What are you doing here?" John asked. "I'm just filling in for St. Peter. I'm asking everyone to spell a word before they can go through the gates." "Oh yeah," John exclaimed, "what's the word?" And after thinking a moment, Jack said, "Spell Albuquerque." So how hard is it for us to be saved? That's today's gospel. Somebody in the crowd says, "Lord, will only a few people be saved?" That's a very good question. Have you ever thought about that? Like, how many people will get to heaven? Will it be 10% of the world, or 50% of the world, or 90% of the world? This person says, "Jesus, tell us, will only a few people be saved?" Now, the Lord does not answer it directly. He doesn't give us a number. He doesn't say, 50% or 90% or 10%. Instead, the Lord addresses the individual person and says, really, don't worry about the numbers. You strive to enter through the narrow gate. So the Lord tells us that if we want to get to heaven, we have to strive to enter through the narrow gate. Why does the Lord call getting to heaven passing through a narrow gate? Well, the Lord in the next sentence describes what he means by the narrow gate. It means it's a small window of opportunity, namely our life on earth. Our life on earth is that narrow gate, that time that we have to save our soul. Some people are given 25 years, some people are given 50 years, some 80, some might live to be 100 years old. But even 100 years old, that still is a very narrow gate. That's still a very short period of time compared to eternity. So when that gate closes, then our opportunity is over. You can't be saved after death. You can only be saved while you're alive. That is that narrow window of opportunity, that narrow gate. Sometimes that gate closes very suddenly on people if they die tragically in an accident or car accident or some other way in which they die so suddenly, then that gate closes immediately. So we always have to be ready and be prepared and be ready to meet the Lord at all time. But others have this other opportunity to be able to go to the sacraments, go to confession, receive the last rites, and to be prepared for when that gate does close and we come before our Lord. And the Lord says an interesting word. He says, strive. Strive to enter. What does that word mean? Well, it means to really work hard. It means to put effort into it. And I've often heard, you've heard of the word triumph. If somebody is victorious, they triumph. Somebody once said that word is really made up of two words, the word try and the word umph, right? Because in order to triumph, you have to try and you have to put a lot of effort into it, right? Now, I wonder how many people are really striving to save their soul? How many people are striving to become a saint? How many people in the world are really striving to want to be with God for all eternity in heaven? It's a good question we can ask ourselves. Do we really strive to become a saint? Do we strive to one day get to heaven and be with God? And Jesus says we must put that effort into it. As the Bible says, work out your salvation in fear and trembling. Now, the good news is that the Bible also says God desires that all men be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. That's 1 Timothy chapter 2. God desires that everyone be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. So the Catechism reminds us that he gives us sufficient grace for salvation. Everybody will be given enough grace to become a saint. Everybody will be given enough grace to make it to heaven and to spend all eternity in perfect happiness. But we also have to remind ourselves that we also have free will. We can either say yes to that grace and respond generously to God's grace and therefore move towards heaven, or we can say no to God's grace. We can sin. We can turn our back on God's grace. We have free will. We can say yes and cooperate with God's grace, or we can say no and turn away from God. But we know that he will give us that sufficient grace. If we ask for it, if we pray, we will be given that grace. Now, we cannot save ourselves. We're only saved by the grace of God, by what Jesus did, by dying on the cross, by opening the gates of heaven. It's only by the grace of God that we can be saved. But we have to respond to that grace of God with faith, hope, and love. And that's how we cooperate with God's grace, grow in holiness, and enter the kingdom of heaven. Now, in today's gospel, when that door closed on the people, some people were outside the door, the gate, when it closed, and they knocked on the door. It says here, after the master of the house has arisen and locked the door, then some of you, Jesus is referring to the crowd back then, the scribes, the Pharisees, the crowd, some of you will stand outside and knock and say, Lord, open the door for us. And Jesus will say from within, I do not know where you are from. And the people outside will say, well, we ate and drank with you. You taught in our streets. And again, Jesus will say, I do not know where you are from. Depart from me, you evildoers. And there'll be wailing and grinding of teeth, Jesus says. So, what was the problem with the people outside the gate? Is that they knew who Jesus was. They had some familiarity with Jesus. We ate and drank in your company. You taught in our streets. These were the people in those days that heard Jesus preaching and maybe were part of the feeding of the 5,000. But they did not know Jesus personally. They knew about Jesus, but they did not know him personally and intimately in that personal relationship. They had familiarity with Christ, but not friendship with Christ. And to be saved, we need more than just familiarity with Jesus. Knowing about Jesus, we have to come to know Jesus intimately and personally. Well, how do we do that? The church reminds us it's very easy. Prayer, start with prayer. Because that's conversation with the Lord. That's how you get to know people, is by talking and listening to them. And then reading the Gospels, reading especially the New Testament. As St. Jerome says, that knowledge of Scripture is knowledge of Christ. Ignorance of Scripture is ignorance of Christ. So how do we get to know Jesus more than in just a superficial way? Prayer. Reading Scripture, especially the New Testament, the Gospels, and then receiving him in the Eucharist, his true body, blood, soul, and divinity. That's how we come into a relationship with the Lord, a friendship, and not just have knowledge of him and familiarity of Christ, but have a personal relationship where Jesus will say, yes, I know who you are. Come into my kingdom. That's what I would recommend from that we could take from today's gospel. Somebody said, Lord, how many will be saved? We don't know the answer, but what Jesus does tell us is that we have to strive to enter through that narrow gate. And that gate every day of our life is closing more and more until finally it will close completely, and then we will come before the Lord. So if we're smart, if we're wise, we will listen to today's gospel and really spend more time in prayer, reading of scripture, going to confession, going to Holy Communion, and really developing that personal relationship with the Lord. Not just knowing about Jesus, but knowing Jesus personally.